Thank you for joining me today on the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. I'm Sarah Kornack, and this is episode 40. 5 tips to increase reader interaction on your blog. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
I'm so glad you decided to tune in today. Earlier this week, we spoke with Kristen of the blog The Frugal Girl. And I've been following Kristen's blog for a while now. And one thing I have noticed is that she gets a lot of reader interaction on her blog. She gets a lot of comments with every post that she writes. The same is true for Anne Bogle of Modern Mrs. Darcy. She has a lot of great interactions with her readers for every blog post. And I think for any of us who have a blog, reader interaction, reader comments is all something that we want. We want to develop that community among our readers, not only with us, but with each other. Because when you have that sense of community, it keeps bringing people back, and it can be a wonderful way to share ideas and discuss situations. And so I know we all want to increase the amount of interaction that our blog posts get. And the statistics for readers commenting on blogs, it's quite low. Most people read blogs, but rarely comment. Modern Mrs. Darcy conducted a survey, and when she was discussing her survey, she said she'd read somewhere that 99% of people don't comment on a blog post that they read. So how can we increase those numbers and make our posts more comment worthy? Well, I've done some research. I read a few articles from various places. ProBlogger had quite a few articles on this topic done by various people, which I found very helpful. And I also just kind of observed what some of my favorite bloggers were doing. I observed what they were doing to determine how they were able to get such great interaction. So this is what I've come up with, my 5 tips for increasing reader interaction. The first tip is consistency. The first way that you can be consistent is to post on a regular schedule. So right now we're doing podcast episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if you're listening, you know you can tune in on Tuesday for a new interview, and you can tune in on Thursdays for a topic discussion. And that's a set schedule that we plan on keeping for a long time. If you're only posting a blog post randomly, then people don't know to expect it, so they're not really looking forward to it. If you're not posting consistently, then people aren't anticipating checking in to find out what your latest post was about. So by having a set schedule, people are looking forward to that, and they're making sure to tune in to your next post or your next episode. Some people choose to post 5 days a week or even 7 days a week, which can be an extremely consistent way to have content out there. If you go that route, just make sure that you have enough material to post quality material on each of those 5 or 7 days. I think it's more important to have good material than it is to have lots of it. Quality over quantity. But figure out what works for you, for your readers, and for your family. Another way to be consistent is to be consistently you. And that's easy to do if from the beginning you speak like yourself. I've heard of a number of people say they write like they talk in real life. They write as if they're having a conversation with a friend. So be consistently you, and people will want to interact with you just like they want to interact with their best friend. If they can't really get to know you, if what they see isn't the true you, they're not going to want to interact with something that they're not sure, well, who is she really? If I saw her on the street, is this, would I be surprised at how she acts or what she says? So be consistently you, and people will want to talk with you just like they want to talk with their friend. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, but A third way to be consistent is consistent in good quality. So make that effort to make sure that everything that you're putting out there is of the best quality that it can possibly be. The second tip for increasing reader interaction is to honor your reader. And I think Kristen does a fabulous job of this on her blog, The Frugal Girl. She had a post recently about how she had tried a new ad on her website, an ad that was recommended to her by one of her ad networks, but it was a pop-up ad. And she literally asked her readers how they felt about that ad. And Kristen already had a nagging suspicion that it was just a downright annoying ad. After she'd tried it out for a couple of days, she thought maybe it would work, but she personally found the ad annoying. And she values her readers. She did not want them to be annoyed by this ad, so she just took it off. She was honoring her readers and making sure that there was nothing on her website to annoy or distract them. So she turned down an ad opportunity. Kristen also discussed in her episode how she is very particular about the products that she recommends and the products that she does affiliate links for. She wants to make sure she truly loves the product before she recommends it. And that is a way to honor your readers. Money Saving Mom had a great interview that I posted on Facebook recently, and she also mentioned a similar thing. She is careful about what she verbally endorses, what she highly endorses, she's very careful about. So by honoring your reader, you're developing that trust. If you are a trusted friend to your reader, that will make them want to interact with you more. If your reader feels that you might be untrustworthy, or maybe they get that sense that the blog is more about making a buck than starting a conversation, that naturally will discourage interaction. So by becoming a trusted friend, by honoring your reader, you're just developing a relationship then that is beneficial for both your reader and for you, as you can truly have a friendship with some of these people that begin to interact with you on the blog. Another way to honor your reader is to reply and respond to their comments as much as possible. I know I am just thrilled when I comment on a blog and the blogger actually responds. Even if it's just a short, awesome idea, thanks for commenting, even if it's something short and sweet, I just eat it up when the blogger actually takes the time to go through and every comment, write a reply. This obviously can take a lot of time, but I think it's well worth it. And I hope that we can strive to continue to do this at Brilliant Business Moms. And of course, there will be days or seasons where some slip through the cracks, and we all understand that. And let me preface all of these tips by saying, once again, we certainly don't think that we have arrived on all of these topics. We've done our research. We've gathered our thoughts on the topic. We're presenting the information to you. But in no way are we implying that we are so good at this and we've got it all figured out. All of these tips, suggestions, all the research that we do, we are just as much about applying it to our blog or our website or our business, just as much as we are about helping you apply it to yours. So if you're thinking about all these things I'm telling you and saying, well, Sarah and Beth Ann aren't always doing that, we might not be. It's an ongoing process for us too. We're always trying to work to do better ourselves. So tip number two was honor your reader. And I think it is such a good one, if I do say so myself. Tip number three, ask your readers for feedback or ask them for help. So both Anne and Kristen do a great job of this one. For instance, Kristen has had a post a few weeks ago about having all this cabbage that she needed to use up. And she posted a blog post about all this cabbage. And she basically says, help, we don't really love cabbage that much. Give us your recipes. And I actually wrote in a comment on that one. I gave her a recipe that my mom did when we were little. We hated it when we were little, but now I like it. It's cabbage and kielbasa, if anybody's wondering. It's pretty good, actually, now that I'm an adult. But anyhow, Kristen got like 100 comments, over 100 comments, when she asked for help on how to use up cabbage. People like to offer help. They like to give suggestions. They like to say what's working for them. And just by asking for help, you're inviting them to be part of the conversation, to be part of the solution, to be part of the community. So just asking for help is a fabulous way to get more comments and interaction. And besides, you can get great help by doing that, by getting the viewpoint of somebody new and different. Somebody that's not your mom. Somebody who'll actually tell you the truth about how things are. My mom gives excellent advice. That's not what I'm saying, mom, because I know you'll be listening. But there is benefit to asking someone other than your mom, since your mom's always trying to be nice and tell you the nice answer. But another way, if you don't need help on a topic, is just to say, after you write a thoughtful post on a certain topic, ask the reader, do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you think I'm crazy? What's your viewpoint on this subject matter? Anne on Modern Mrs. Darcy is fabulous at doing this. She is always asking her readers for their thoughts on the topic at hand. And because she is asking for feedback, she gets it. She gets a lot of comments and thoughts related to the topic of the day. By asking for feedback and asking for help, you're showing your readers that you value their feedback. What they have to say is important to you. How they feel about something, their opinions are important to you. So by asking, you're giving value. You're making them feel appreciated. And they are. They are appreciated. I think Kristen really showed that she valued her readers also by doing the reader Q&A posts that she has. She was getting so many questions, it was hard for her to answer them individually. So she started her Q&A post, where she would answer the question as a blog post so that more readers could get the benefit of the answer. And although this solved a problem of hers, lots of questions, not enough time, and wanting to kind of capitalize on her answers to her questions, it also shows that she values those questions that her readers email to her. By doing a whole blog post centered around the questions of her readers, it clearly shows her readers that she values their emails, she values their questions, and she values their viewpoints. So we actually hope to start a reader Q&A on our site as well. So like we always say, send us an email, send us a question. We really would love to hear from you and maybe feature your question in a blog post on Brilliant Business Moms. So on your next blog post, ask for that feedback or ask for help, and I bet you'll get it. Number 4, be interesting and brave. The fact of the matter is, if you're not putting something interesting out there, unfortunately, not too many people will read it. And if nobody's reading, then nobody will be there to comment. So you do have to put out something worth reading, something interesting. Discuss something that really matters. Discuss a unique topic or idea or project. Be original. Be yourself. People care about that part of you that makes you different from everyone else out there, that makes your voice a voice that they want to hear and listen to. Now, I don't think this doesn't mean that you have to be off the wall crazy, though. Just focus on the parts that make you uniquely you. Focus on those topics that are near and dear to your heart. And be brave by actually sharing your opinion on a topic that could be a bit controversial. Initiate that discussion. Now, controversy always has a way of getting lots of interaction, and some strong interaction can come from controversy. So unless you want to be someone who is constantly controversial, or maybe if that's the focus of your blog, then you can just be controversial all the time. if that's not the vibe and tone that you're looking for, then I do think there's still a way to share your opinion without creating maybe like a huge backlash. I think you can share your opinion in a conversational way, not in a lecture way. I think you could talk about a topic that is sensitive when it fits with the theme of your blog and truly just share your heart on the matter. Be brave. Be willing to speak your mind and tell people your viewpoint, but then be willing to listen to what they have to say next. Be willing to get into conversation with those people that might leave you feedback or leave a comment on that particular blog post. And I think if you set the tone in your post for calm, cool, conversational, collected, not the lecture, I think your responses will reflect that tone and hopefully not get too nasty, although you never know. But try it. Be interesting. Be brave. Be kind and brave, though. Be kind in everything. Be kind. And the number 5 way to increase reader interaction on your blog, this is my favorite way, make a spelling mistake on your blog. I think this way is hysterical. People just love to correct you when you're wrong, don't they? I actually learned something new spelling-wise this week, and maybe I shouldn't tell you this because it'll highlight my ignorance, but Seth Godin had a blog post about an office supply store that spelled the word stationery wrong, and he had a blog post about that, and he showed a picture of the sign, and stationery was spelled S-T-A-T-I-O-N-A-R-Y. And I kept looking at it, and I'm like, I don't see the misspelling. Where's the misspelling? So then I had to look it up in the dictionary, well, the online dictionary. And I saw, of course, that the writing stationery is spelled E-R-Y, not A-R-Y. Well, I didn't know that. I would have totally misspelled that if I did a blog post on stationery that I love. So I could have increased interaction and not even known it. But I thought this way was hysterical. Make a spelling mistake. This tip, I want to give credit to this woman because her article was really funny. It's on problogger.com. She wrote an article about tips to create conversation on your blog. And she personally blogs at, she says she's Mrs. Woog of Woog's World is her blog, Woog's World. She's in Australia. And I... And she's kind of funny, I think. But here were her top 3 tips, her ingest top 3 tips for getting more people to comment on your blog. I'll read all of hers to you. Number 1, making a spelling mistake. People love to point them out to you. Number 2, tell people you think vaccinations are the devil's work. And number 3, write a blog post about how you are overblogging and thinking about quitting. So those were her 3 humorous tips, which number 2 relates to being brave and number 1, the spelling mistake. But honestly, I think that's a great tip. I'm sure you actually will get people to comment. And if they're commenting for the first time, that's only going to make them more comfortable about commenting again. So maybe do a whole blog post filled with spelling mistakes and you'll get all sorts of outrage from readers about how you are just misspelling all over the place. Let me review with you really quickly my 5 tips for getting more interaction on your blog. Number 1, consistency in schedule and in who you are and in the quality that you produce. Number 2, honor your reader. Think about them above all else. Number 3, ask for feedback or ask for help. Number 4, be interesting and brave. This could be a tricky one, so judge the right time and the right topic, but you can do it. I think you can do that. And number 5, make a spelling mistake. So, for any of you new bloggers out there, or for any of you who are trying to start a companion blog for a product that you have, maybe think about these things as you write your next blog post. And I hope that you really can get lots of interaction and feedback and comments. I know we certainly hope to get lots of interaction and feedback and comments from all of you. So feel free to leave a comment on the blog about this episode. Maybe you have a great way that I haven't thought of or discussed here. Or send us an email. We would love to hear your comments on the podcast in an email or a question that you might have. And like I said, we're going to try and start answering some of those questions as a blog post so that other people can benefit from those answers. You may not know it, but Bethann and I have been answering various questions that people have who have, you know, had the courage to contact us and ask us a question about something that they're doing. And between the two of us, I think we can come up with some pretty good answers. So feel free to try that yourself and ask a question for the first time. So head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/40 and you'll see the show notes and any relevant links there. And as always, now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.